Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey there, happy Thursday to you, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We got a three-man booth running today. It is Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, TJ Cleveland hopping in for us. Here on a Thursday, busy Thursday, we'll have our betting insider PJ Glasser on in just a little bit. He'll help us look to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs and to the college football national championship, which we've waited a very long time for, but we're there on Monday. So we'll get to all of that with PJ Glasser. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, also going to try to hop on here in the next hour. So looking forward to both of those conversations. Should be a lot of fun. Not maybe a lot of fun talking KU. How worried should we be? We'll dig into that as they fall big in Ames last night. How big was it really? We're all fueled up with our Prairie Fire coffee. We're all ready to get out there and suntan today and bask in that 40-degree, microwave outside. But here we go. Fellas, Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited about the fact that it's going to get a little bit warmer today and tomorrow before we go back in the deep freeze. Did you get your driveway all shoveled?
Oh, no. No, I took the listener's advice and didn't take the hammer to it. I did try to take like a little, those little gardening rakes to more gently see if I could loosen anything up. No, did not. Didn't work. So now today I'm just hoping for some melting and then we'll see if we can't get scooped up. Godspeed to all the delivery people trying to navigate our driveway and path for all the things my wife orders online. You know, those six things that come a day. It's just like you're playing with lightning in a bottle. But we're trying. I'm trying to help you out, man. Just can't get it done. TJ, good morning.
Hello. Yeah, I'm definitely ready for the melt as well. We're at the point now where the apartment, we got the gate code to get inside. You slide every time you put the gate code in. So we're waiting for somebody to take out the thing you put the numbers in. So hopefully that doesn't come and we can melt it away today.
It's a crazy one. I don't remember ever seeing this much ice. I've got like 2 inches in spots on my driveway. That just like the most ice I've probably seen in a storm, at least in a long time. But this is not a weather show. This is a sports show most of the time. And we had a big sporting event last night because KU went to Ames, number 9 versus number 2. And for most of it, we had a pretty good game. It was a 10-point halftime deficit, which didn't like. Then they got it back within 5, as close as 4 minutes to go. A couple things don't go their way, and then boom, they lose by 17 points to Iowa State. I think the game to me probably says more about Iowa State at the moment. KU, it's pretty easy, Tommy, to sit there and pick apart what they did wrong. They turned the ball over way too much, which was the death of them. They were out rebounded, which I don't think was all that surprising that they would be out-rebounded in the game. But that kind of turnovers in that environment against that team, like you're not winning that game when you turn the ball over that way. To me, it's pretty simple breakdown, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, they dug themselves a hole in the first half for sure, but they were able to get back and make it a game at a couple of different points in the second half, cutting the lead down to 6, I think, in 2 different occasions in the second half. And at one point, with about 5 minutes to go in the game, maybe a little bit less than 5 minutes, the Jayhawks cut the deficit down to six, and it looked like they had the momentum. There were a couple of really crucial missed free throws from DeJuan Harris, and then from there, things kind of snowballed out of control. I think one of the major issues with this Jayhawks team, especially in the second half last night, was that the offense just got stagnant. The lineup got stagnant out on the court. There really wasn't a whole lot of, Bill Self really trying to find new lineups to score that could really get the ball in the bucket. And that, you know, I think was one of the main reasons, at least late in the game, that they weren't able to get all the way back.
I think, TJ, and I've been saying this for a long time, I think KU's really going to have a hard time when Hunter Dickinson's held in check like that. And a team like Iowa State is able to do that. Our KU insider, Shri Islata, yesterday pointed out, like we all talk about Iowa State's offense, they have a top 10 defense this year, too. Dickinson was a non-factor offensively. Never really was a big factor in the game, and KU really struggled offensively. Scored 57 points. He was 3 of 10 from the field. Never good when most of your shots come inside 5 feet that you go 3 of 10 from the field. That's going to be, I think, the biggest thing for KU. We can micromanage all the lineups and all the different things that they do all season long, but if Dickinson does not go offensively, this team is going to struggle. And they have this year, and they'll continue to do it. I think they ride or die by Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah, you know, you talk about micromanaging this lineup, and everybody does. You know, we do it. Everybody does it on social media as well. And everybody talks about the trio of, you know, KJ Adams, Hunter Dickinson, and DeJuan Harris. And we've seen them together so much the past 2 years that teams are starting to adapt to when they're on the court. They know what they have to do defensively because they know that's not going to be a perimeter lineup. They know that they want to feed it inside to Hunter. They want to get it inside to KJ and work inside the paint. And they frankly say, you guys can't shoot a ton of jump shots. We're just going to sit right here. And that clogs up the paint. That makes your big guy go 3 of 10 because he's basically getting double-teamed in the paint every single time he touches the ball. So there definitely is. I think that, you know, watching that game, I don't think that it's a player thing. I don't think it's a Bill Self thing. I think it's just a personnel and a fit thing, honestly. And it's kind of the reason that we've seen all of their losses so far this year. You know, West Virginia went on the record after the game and said, we saw what, you know, Creighton did, we saw what Mizzou did, and we basically just let KJ Adams shoot all he wanted in that game and put an extra guy in the paint. And it's what we saw last night against Iowa State. They packed that thing tight.
So why not change that? I mean, you know, like to that point, like if opponents know that what the strategy is to get the ball to Hunter Dickinson, to get the ball to KJ Adams, you know that Bill Self is going to ride those, you know, main three core guys. And it's not working in a situation like in the second half against Iowa State and the offense is struggling and stagnant. I get the trust factor that Bill Self really leans on, but why not make that change? Why not make an adjustment to freshen things up and get a different look out there?
They're not going to have a choice. KJ Adams is hurt. I bet he'll miss time. He injured his shoulder. I don't think they have the right people. At some point, The change that they make has to generate offense.
Yeah, you don't think Flory Badunga and, you know, Rylan Griffin and like those guys that, you know, they brought in, like at least could provide a little bit of a spark?
I love Flory Badunga and I wish he could. I think offensively it's going to take time for him. I think the biggest problem is the same problem they had last year. Now I'm more optimistic in Rylan Griffin and AJ Store AJ Store was forcing it late in the game, but he was trying. And I honestly don't even hate that, right? Like, let's see if that guy can get some of that mojo back. I don't know that they have the pieces there to become an offensive juggernaut. Zeke Mayo took 19 shots last night. And honestly, I think that's their best shot right now. Like, I don't know where that other offense is going to come from because I don't think any of the players they brought in to do it are doing a good job of doing it. They're going to live and die by Hunter Dickinson. How do you get him freed up? That becomes, I think, the top priority. Like, what can they change to allow him one-on-ones down low? And teams that are really good defensively down there, they're going to see one pretty soon in Houston, I think are going to give Kansas a really, really hard time. Because if Dickinson doesn't go, I don't think Kansas has the shot makers to go just be that kind of team. I don't think they have it. We'll talk about it. What do they do next? That's our next topic here on Sports Daily. Keep it here. It's Albrock, it's Castor, it's Cleland. Don't go away.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
You want to win some HGO? You can do it right now. Free iced tea, free coffee. You can win one of each by entering our giveaway. All you got to do to win is text the keyword tea, TEA, to the short code 20357. That's one free iced tea, one free iced or hot coffee drink. All you got to do is text the keyword tea, short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We're talking KU, Iowa State. Going through some of the postgame commentary last night. I think KU's pointing at an effort level as the reason they feel like they lost that game. I can subscribe to that. That was a tough spot. It was a tough environment. Iowa State, you know, got the 50-50s. I think, I think on the broadcast they called them more like 80-20 balls for Iowa State. The players and Bill Self talked about that. Self said it wasn't an effort thing. It was just, you know, they were out executed on just about every level. And again, I can believe that. If KU and Iowa State played 10 times, KU might win, what, four of those games? I don't think anybody thinks that's crazy. Iowa State's really good, and they played at home, and that wasn't really a 17-point loss. It was within 5 points coming down the home stretch there. So all of that, like big picture, I don't think anything changed from what we're thinking about KU, or at least for me, right before the break we were talking about this. I don't think there is any way around or anything you can do to make this not be all about Hunter Dickinson offensively, and he wasn't good offensively last night. I don't think there's a change you can make philosophically to change the fact that this team must run through Hunter Dickinson, and then it's how do you aid Hunter Dickinson in being that player. I've been saying that, Tommy, for months. I just don't think there's anything else they're going to be able to do now that gives them a better chance than have Hunter Dickinson be one of the best players in the country.
Well, I think two things can be true at the same time. Number one, yes, Hunter Dickinson did not have a good game last night. And there were, you know, some issues that he had that I'm sure that going back and watching film, he's going to kick himself about a couple turnovers and, you know, different things like that that are uncharacteristically things that he doesn't usually do. So that's one thing that is true, yes. But I also think that the issues are larger than just Hunter Dickinson. It's that core three of him, DeJuan Harris, and KJ Adams that, TJ and I were talking about it off break, during break, that it is the safe option for Bill Self. And we all know, and I've mentioned this so many times on this show, that Bill Self values trust over talent all the time, every single day, every single year. That's what he does. I get it. I understand why. But at the same time, you were in a position late in the game when you absolutely needed a spark offensively. And those three guys were not delivering it, and they hadn't shown any signs that they were going to deliver that. Make a change. Figure out something else. You know, like, I understand that Flory Badunga is young, and he's going to make some mistakes and things like that. And I hate even suggesting, like, you got to bench a potential All-American in Hunter Dickinson, but he wasn't getting the job done. Make a change, find a spark, do something else.
The Badunga issue is, I love Badunga. He had 4 fouls in 11 minutes last night. Like, that's his problem. He's a freshman. He can't stay on the floor. I think they would love to give him a role, TJ, where he gets out there and plays 20 minutes a game. But he's not consistently proving that he's able to do that. He fouls too much. He's a young big man. This happens all the time with young big men. But they couldn't get him on the floor anymore. He would have fouled out.
Yeah, I think that that's a two-way street, though, as well. You know, I think that Flory understands that I'm not going to play 20 minutes a game when I have Hunter Dickinson and KJ Adams on my team. So I might as well go make the most of my 10 minutes that I'm going to put in there. And so I think that is a two-way street. I think that there's absolutely a possibility that you put him in a starting lineup and say, take it easy. We need you to play 30 minutes, dude. Like, don't try to block every shot in this game. I do agree. I mean, yeah, I don't want him to be less aggressive, but don't be, you know, stupid and reckless like he sometimes plays. I think you can calm it down a bit. There's a difference in that. I love him.
But I don't think his offense is where anywhere close to where it's good. Look, just look at his stat line. You want to talk about a weird stat line. 4 blocks in 11 minutes, but also a bunch of turnovers and 4 fouls. Only 11 minutes. Like, they've got to be able to, and that's on him. Like, they have to be able to count on him more. To Tommy's point, late in the game, like, you've got to have the ability to put him out there. Everybody in the world knows what he brings. I mean, you don't have to watch much basketball to see, like, that guy's got a lot of potential and juice. But he's just, it's like a baby deer out there sometimes, especially against a team like Iowa State, who knows real well how to take advantage of an inexperienced player and to keep him off the floor because they want to do it. My thing, Tommy, is I don't like where do you provide that offensive spark? We know Zeke Mayo's not afraid to get in there and rip it, but that's not Shaq Moore's, right? That is it. If it's not Griffin and if it's not Store, I don't know where
it's got to be those two guys. And you know what? Look, like the struggles with AJ Store have been well documented. But I don't know if you guys noticed this at all in the game last night. There was a period of time and kind of a crucial stretch of the game when Bill Self put in Diggy Coit over Ryland Griffin. And Coit was awful. Like, it was an awful, awful period of time. Like the some of those decisions are a little baffling to me. Like, what has Diggy Coit shown to you that he can deliver in those big game moments? Instead of a guy that I get, Ryland Griffin has been up and down this year. He's been better than AJ Store, but he's been up and down this year. But he's got experience. He knows how to play in big time moments and big time games. And why you're going to David Coit over Ryland Griffin, it was a head scratcher to me in that moment. So yeah, it's got to be Griffin and Store for sure. But they've also got to be given those opportunities. And at least last night, Griffin wasn't.
I will say this. I asked the question, how worried should we be? I would answer not actually worried at all. Like, the KU had Iowa State sort of where they wanted them late in a game where they made way more mistakes than they're normally going to make. Even turning the ball over at the clip that they turned the ball over, that was a 5-point game with a boneheaded offensive rebound allowed on a free throw that really, and then a 3-pointer that was sort of the dagger. Like, with everything that happened in that game, I don't think what we thought going into the game changes coming out of the game, which is that KU can and is capable of playing a level of defense that is going to allow them to win every game they play. And I think for a large part they did. It wasn't their defense that killed them. It was their offense that kept turning the ball over that killed them. So when we talk about pulling back on KJ Adams and DeJuan Harris, that's where I think the danger is, TJ, because we know those guys bring defense, right? We know those guys are elite level defenders. So how much can they give and take from the defense to try and generate offense that isn't there? And I'm not saying they shouldn't try. I definitely think they should try. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how realistic it is to pull those guys back, lose what they bring defensively, and try to gain something offensively from guys we're just not seeing it from now 16, 17 games into a season.
Yeah, I do. I think that's a two-sided coin as well, because I agree that they don't bring offensive, you know, firepower that they can keep up with the end. I said that if they're playing against the team, we've seen it in the non-conference, but something's obviously changed, that if the team they're playing scores 70 points, I don't feel confident that KU can keep up and score 70, 75, 80 points. So I think that I agree KJ Hunter and DeJuan are going to bring defense on that side. But at some point, you just have to think, like, that something's got to give. I don't know if you put one of them in, one of them out. I know that was a big conversation that they had at the end of last year, but there was such a depth issue last year. This year, they have the depth, and I feel like they just prefer this lineup more than they prefer every other lineup. So, I mean, if you were asking me to make a change, I agree with what Tommy said. I'd get Ryland Griffin in there more. You know, I'd probably move, you know, KJ or DeJuan to the bench and rotate those in one by one, have one of those guys come in and be a bench spark, which is obviously a huge thing that last year's team needed, and I feel like you could have on this year's team.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at KJ Adams' minutes. I mean, he only played 24 last night. He does consistently keep
okay.
it in the mid-20s.
That's probably okay. I think that
that's where he's been all
by
year.
By the way, I think that there's also been, in the defense of KJ Adams, I think there's been this sort of misconception that he's playing the entire game. He's played more than 35 minutes one time this season. Right. I mean, you know, they're not sending him out there nonstop. And we saw a lot. I feel like we saw a lot more of that a year ago. They didn't have anywhere else to go but him a year ago in that role. So, you know, now you've got another big man in Flory Badunga. You've got a couple of other guys that can come in and be more versatile in that regard. So, you know, as critical as I've been about the big three for KU, and I do believe, honest to God, I believe that the more that Dickinson, Harris, and Adams are leaned on, especially in big game spots, that's a recipe for this team, I think, to get bounced early in the NCAA tournament, honestly. But even though I am critical of that, and I believe that wholeheartedly, I do want to defend KJ Adams, at least in that regard. He's not playing a full 40 minutes or even 30 minutes a game. He is consistently in the 20s.
And I think that's right. I'm putting it square more on the other guys. Somebody's got to step up besides Zeke Mayo and provide some offense. Like, period. Like, that to me, like, those three guys and what they bring defensively night in and night out and experience and all that stuff. Like, I don't believe that that's what's going to hurt Kate. Now, fundamentally, like, is that the greatest lineup of all time? We can have that conversation. But as it pertains to this year, and this is the roster that's there, I do think you still have to lean into two of those three guys, DeJuan Harris and Hunter Dickinson. And then somebody else is going to have to step up. Zeke Mayo has stepped up. And again, that game last night was close. Like, KU, with all the mistakes and everything that they did wrong in that game, was right there because they still do play this high level of defense. That's what high level defense does for you. There must be, and it's probably got to be Store. Store probably will have to be the player that just steps it up offensively and maybe takes a little bit away from Zeke Mayo. I mean, Zeke Mayo's trying. Like, he's trying. I think he's been such a cool story this year. But Store is the player of all those, even with Rylan Griffin. Like, Store's the guy that is coming there to be kind of the McCullough replacement, right? Who is that other option? And he just isn't doing it. He tried. He did.
He did.
He was forcing it late. And I don't hate that either, by the way. Like, get in there and just do something.
Do something to provide a spark. I do think that this is probably more of a big picture discussion. I do think that there is a concerning / troubling trend just in general with Kansas basketball. Probably going back to, you know, after the 2020 season when that team was with Devon Dotson and Udoka Azubuike and they were fantastic and then the tournament got canceled. After that, I can't remember a true road game against an elite opponent, a top 10 opponent, that Kansas won. Like, I was going back and I was trying to think about that and look at that. There have been some neutral court victories over, you know, big time opponents and home wins and that sort of thing. But it used to be, you know, Bill Self coached teams would go into really hostile environments, and it's been Ames before. I remember a game when Devontae Graham was on the team, and they went to OU, and OU was, I think, number two in the country at that point, and they beat them at their place. That happened against Missouri, you know, 12 years ago, whenever that was, when Missouri was, you know, still in the Big 12. That sort of thing happened a lot. It's not happening now, and it hasn't happened in some time. Those great Baylor teams against Scott Drew, Texas, I remember it happened against them, going to their place, and not only not winning, but losing by double digits. I feel like that's a trend that's happened more in the last few years than what we've been accustomed to with Bill Self over his career.
Yeah, just looking at the 21-22 season, you're right. They were 6-4 on the road. They didn't win many conference road games.
But even against, like, not just any conference road games,
right.
top-tier, top 10 teams. And like, they've been dismantled before on the road in those kind of environments.
It's a good point. And this is the team that should be able to do
right,
TJ? It's full of 30-year-olds. Yep. So, like, that should be the team that's equipped to go do it. That's a tough spot last night. I may be subscribing to those that say this is Otzelberger's best team. Iowa State's really good.
They are really good.
And they are very complete. They are deep. They're even missing a key player, and they look good. I think Houston is also really good for a lot of the same reasons. I think Houston's going to give KU fits because they're big and strong enough to take away Hunter Dickinson. KU, big picture, get them here to Wichita, but it'll be a matchup NCAA tournament for sure. It'll be a matchup NCAA tournament. You mentioned if that style, you're afraid of an early bounce. I am too. I don't think it'll be quite as dramatic a matchup tournament as last year was, But I do think it will be a very much a matchup tournament for KU. Get the right matchups, they might be in good shape. But man, you draw that one wrong team and it could be trouble for KU, no matter how, you know, big or small the school is. And I still think it's a team that can take away Dickinson's going to give KU the most trouble. And there's going to be a lot of teams in the Big 12 that are able to do that.
In March Madness, I think that I've said this, you know, whenever you have a best player that's your five man that kind of slows KU down, honestly, the way that they play, because they want to get him the ball inside. And when you do that, you got to run set plays. You got to make sure he gets in position. You can't run and gun and like Iowa State did last night. They were chucking up 40 footers with 25 seconds on the shot clock and nailing them. KU can't do that. They want to get the ball to Hunter Dickinson. And whenever you get to March, you catch a team like Oakland last year against Kentucky, and they're playing with house money. They're going to pack it in all day long and let you try to beat them from outside. And KU might not be able to do that. If they catch one team that makes, you know, 15 three-pointers like we've seen pretty much all year, same problem the Shockers have, that these other teams are just lighting it up and they don't let they let KU try and they can't. So something's got to give with that, and I think I saw a stat, not to misquote the stat I saw on social media, but I think Bill Self is averaging 2 double-digit losses per season his entire coaching career at Kansas, and like 12 of them have come in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So I think, honestly, if you had to attribute that to something, those years have kind of been, the last 2 years have been Hunter Dickinson years, where everything slows down, and I think that's just not going to keep up with the modern Big 12, for one, but just the modern blue blood powers of college basketball, because they're kind of moving towards the NBA game of scoring really, really fast, and KU's not doing that.
Well, it's a good point too, Tommy, because it's not unusual for Bill Self to start an offense down low. Yeah. He does that all the time. He did that with David McCormick in their last championship year. Okay, so what's the difference there? Well, they had a bunch of shooters on that team, right? They had a bunch of shooters, including Ochai Agbaji, who could shoot the lights out on that team. That's what they haven't had in 2 years. Is somebody to hit a bunch of high volume, one or two players from the outside to allow them to start it inside. And that has been the Achilles heel. That's why they went and got these dudes. That's why they got Storm. That's why they got Griffin. That's why they got Zeke Mayo. That's why they got all these guys. And they're just not hitting those shots.
Yeah, you're totally right. I remember a few years ago, they had Landon Lucas as the big man, and probably one of the weaker big men in Bill Self's era. But they had a bunch of shooters, and they were scoring the lights out of the ball because they had to play differently. And you know what? I guarantee you Bill Self hated it. Even though they were scoring a bunch of points and they were shooting the lights out, I mean, I think that was a year that Svi Mykhailiuk was on the team, and you know, like they had really good shooters. And I'm sure that he was like, man, like I want to play down low. I want to play through my big. And I can't because it's Landon Lucas and he's not effective. It goes in the face of kind of what Bill Self's comfort level is. I mean, think of the great bigs he's had in his time at KU, and Cole Aldridge and Jeff Withey and, you know, Thomas Robinson, the twins. Like they've had really good bigs over the course of that time. And when he's got one that he trusts and leans on, it's hard to get offense from anywhere else.
It is. It's been their problem for 2 years is that they don't hit enough threes. I'm pulling that 21-22 roster. And just to remind everybody of the 3-point shooters on that team, Oach was on that team. Christian Brown was on that team. Jalen Wilson was on that team. And Remy Martin was on that team, right? KU hadn't had a shooter like any of those guys in the last 2 years. Zeke Mayo is the closest thing, and he's trying. But some of these other guys are going to have to hit some outside shots if KU reaches its potential offensively. Defensively, I think they're fine. We'll come back. We've got football talk coming up next hour. We've got K-State talk coming up next hour. It's 3-Man Boot today. All broadcaster Cleveland. Don't go away.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for supporting the program. Big events coming up over the next few weeks at Crestview. You've got a casino night, prime rib night, a wine tasting, a Galentine's cocktail party. I'm guessing that means we're not invited to that, Tommy. You can get Super Bowl catering, all kinds of good stuff. I know the weather changes, but Crestview doesn't stop rocking and rolling. Give them a call. Ask them about all the different memberships. Tell them we sent you. We appreciate their support. Did you have on your bingo card Lou Holtz as like the ultimate Ohio State troll. I got to tell you, I love it. I don't know if you saw his most recent, you know, we all remember like Ryan Day throwing a hissy fit because Lou Holtz was mean to him on TV and all that. Well, he's doubling down. Here's what Lou Holtz said. I think this was yesterday. If Notre Dame doesn't win, it's because we want to preserve Ryan Day's job. I was originally going to be at the game in spirit. Now I'll be dragging my body along. He's lost to Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Michigan twice. Everybody beats him. Does so because they're more physical than Ohio State. And I know Notre Dame will take that same approach. God, I love it. I love it. Lou Holtz was honestly one of my favorite sports characters of my younger years. Like when I was a huge diehard Notre Dame fan, I was team Lou Holtz all the way, man. And I think he's been a fun analyst. I think he's quirky. But this beef with Ryan Day is one of my favorite chapters of the Lou Holtz saga. I've met him. He's an awesome dude. This cracks me up.
My favorite thing about Lou Holtz is you look at him, you know, and especially with how old he is now and everything, like he looks like your great grandpa, right? Like, you know, just like this nice old man, and he will absolutely eviscerate you if you're on his bad side. And you know what? They're clearly, and I know Notre Dame and Ohio State fans, you know, don't like each other, whatever, but like there's clearly bad blood, and there has been for quite a while between these two guys. And I love it. I am here for it. We need those fireworks going into a national championship game against two programs that are blue bloods in college football. And you know what? Here, the other thing about what Lou Holtz said is that he's not entirely wrong. You know, he's probably exaggerating some, but he's not entirely wrong. Like it's going to take probably a national championship for Ryan Day for the Ohio State fan base to probably get off his back.
Look, TJ's a national champion. Like he gets to talk that trash. He's got a natty. Ryan Day doesn't. I don't know if this would have escalated to this level without Ryan Day's very strange, like, offense taking after that game, because Lou Holt, you know, said something as a television analyst, right? I mean, imagine that. But now it's to this level where of all the great things about Lou Holtz, I did not see him taking like Ohio State heel late in life as one of these things that makes him one of the great football characters.
Yeah, honestly, I remember whenever the whole Ryan Day thing happened where he started screaming in the camera's face and spitting on it and everything like that, that I had to Google. I was like, what did he say to warrant this kind of reaction after a game? It wasn't that bad at all. It's unreal. And it definitely wouldn't keep going if it wasn't for that. But now it's a whole sitcom, dramedy, soap opera. So you got to keep going now if you're Lou Holtz, because if he wins again, maybe he'll do it again. Who knows? And if Notre Dame wins, then Lou Holtz going to – he might start screaming in a camera as well.
It doesn't – I mean, I'm sure Marcus Freeman doesn't love that Lou Holtz is adding this fuel to the fire, but it's great. Like, imagine picking a fight with a – how old is – let me just do it quickly here.
He's got to be like almost 90, right?
Imagine picking a fight and taking offense at what a 90-year-old says. Yeah. Like, this guy's older than our presidential candidates. Like, he's real old. He's 88 years old, and which means he was 87 last year when he got under Ryan Day's skin. Like, of all the crazy and wild things old people love to say, and it's going to be, by the way, one of the great things about reaching that age is you can, like, say whatever you want, whenever you want, no consequence, right? Old people get a hall pass. You know, like, it's just, they're old. Right. And, you know, hey, whoa, grandpa, whoa. Like, that's going to be a great part about if we're so lucky to reach that kind of age, is that you get to say whatever you want, whenever you want. But that's a weird fight to pick if you're Ryan Day. That's a really, really old guy who loves his Notre Dame Fighting Irish that you're trying to like rally the troops. Imagine being in the locker room and Ryan Day playing the video before the game of Lou Holtz saying they're not very physical. And imagine being a player who's 20 years old, old enough to be a great grandkid of Lou Holtz, and saying like,
"Yeah,
who is that old guy? Like what? Like that? What is he? Who is that guy? Like it's just a weird hill to climb if you're Ryan Day, to me anyway."
Yeah, it's weird to me. I mean, like, this is how old Lou Holtz is. He retired from coaching over 20 years ago. He was old when, like, Jacob, you and I were kids. And I remember him coaching at Notre Dame in the 90s, you know, and he was old then, and he's older now. And the fact that Ryan Day, And look, I think Ryan Day in some ways gets more heat than what he deserves.
Wait, he's a great coach.
He gets more heat than he deserves. But for him to even entertain this and for this feud to linger on and going back to when he took offense to what Lou Holtz said, like it's one of those things where, like, when you're a kid and your parent, like, you've got somebody picking on you and your parents are like, hey, you know, the best way to get a bully to stop, like, pretend it doesn't bother you. And it absolutely bothers Ryan Day. Don't let it bother you. Like, you know, there was a question, by the way, in a, I think it was a press conference or an interview with Ryan Day just in the last couple of days, asking if he had talked to Lou Holtz ever since the spat when that happened. And Ryan Day just said no. Just a one word no. And like didn't want to talk about it anymore. Like it clearly has gotten under his skin and it's continued. You know, but man, like this is a weird thing.
Ryan Day was like 7 years old when Lou Holtz was in his prime. It's an interesting fight that I'm here for because I love Lou Holtz and I grew up a Notre Dame fan. So I love it. Like, bring it on, like, rally the troops however you can. Lou Holtz, love that he stays in the news now once a year. Again, I've met him. He was a very, very funny and nice guy. And clearly he's having fun with this. You don't at 88, like you want to know if you still got it. You still got it when you can come up with, if Notre Dame doesn't win, it's because we want to preserve Ryan Day's job. At 88 years old, like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Like, setting that tone, because you know, we know because we saw it, how that makes Ryan Day feel. It bugs him, which is all Lou Holtz is trying to do right there.
And here's the other thing, the reason why Lou Holtz is going to win this, and already has won this between him and Ryan Day, is because Holtz has nothing to lose and Ryan Day has a lot to lose. And so you're battling. It's an unfair battle for Ryan Day. So don't even pick the fight. Like, just stay away from it.
By the way, Ryan Day, if he wins this game, should go to the NFL. No more undeserving heat for a coach that exists right now than for Ryan Day. I hope he does, so Ohio State fans can shut up and realize it's a pretty good deal to win 11 games a year and have the best players every year. Ridiculous. Not to, you know, I don't care one way or the other about Ryan Day, but dude can obviously coach. Like, he's really good at what he does, and they ought to be happy they've got him. Ridiculous amount of heat that he takes. All right. Here's some other big news, TJ. Switching gears to the NFL from yesterday, Jalen Watson's going to play. I mean, he's practicing in full. Like, they can be as coy as they want and say, well, we'll see how it, you know. No, he's practicing in full. He's going to play. It immediately, like, when he left the defense, and I have not gone through and pulled all the numbers. I thought about it, but I think to some degree we can just, like, trust our gut on that. This was a much better defense with Jalen Watson on it, and they haven't had him since week 7. That's a big deal for the Chiefs in the postseason to get him. If he's 100% and they just get to get him back along with all their offensive weapons, man, that could be a huge impact in these playoff games.
Yeah, you know, it's huge. You know, you talk about how good the defense was back in the early season. It was kind of, you know, a little bit of the offense struggling and the defense kind of carrying them to these wins. And then, you know, that happened. And then a couple other things happened. And then it was, you know, they got in a shootout with the Panthers. They were letting the Raiders drive the field on them to go beat them. Everything like that. The Chargers, even. You can go game by game through this. Ever since that Chargers win, the doink or whatever it was to clinch the West, the defense has played great. You know, they've played pretty awesome. The Texans gave them some fits, but the Texans are also really good. You know, they hold the Browns to 7 points. They hold the Steelers to 10 points. Obviously, they wasn't playing against the Broncos there. So I think that the defense was playing great to get him back right now heading into the playoffs. We talked about it the other day with Dan Israel that everybody – it's going to be a team that we've never seen before. We have never seen Hollywood Brown on the same field as Isaiah Pacheco. We've never seen Isaiah Pacheco really on the same field as Kareem Hunt for the most part in a couple of weeks at most. You know,
not at full go.
Exactly. Yeah. You've never seen all these guys play together at one time. And it feels like you've got to be optimistic as a Chiefs fan going into these playoffs that this on paper is the best product you've put on the field all year long.
And so there's no question. It's weird. It's a strange thing to be the healthiest you've been at the end of the season. Tommy, I've talked about how I think Travis Kelce will be unlocked here, and I absolutely think he will be. Chris Jones, I think, may get some of that too. He's been taking it easy for a while. But I think that he's going to be a lot. It's funny, like all of these new players, but to me, this postseason screams about Jones and Kelce being the keys for Kansas. Like, I think they could have massive postseasons. I think they're poised for it. I think they're primed for it. I think the defense is ready to sort of turn Chris Jones loose a little bit. And I do think he'll have that same kind of impact. And all of these things help, right? All getting Jalen Watson back to shore up the secondary helps Chris Jones be more aggressive in what it is that he does against quarterbacks. It's making me nervous. It's making me nervous that everything seems to be going the Chiefs' way right now. Like the NFL plays tricks on us all the time.
Well, and don't discount the fact that with Kelce and Jones, both of them are older and they've gotten a good amount of rest. And I think that, you know, the rest that they've been able to have, it's going to be more beneficial for guys Kelce's age and Jones's age to be able to be full go and healthy and all of that. You know, you play an 18 game regular season, or in the case of those two guys, 17 game regular season, because they rested the final week. It's a grind. It wears on your body. And you know that there are probably, everybody will have small nagging injuries, bumps and bruises and things like that. They've had a chance to get rested, get their legs underneath them a little bit heading into the playoffs. And so just for that fact alone, even regardless of them being unlocked from maybe a scheme perspective or, you know, focus on other guys, whatever, even beyond all that, just the fact that they're probably going to be a lot more rested and healthy and ready to go, that's going to, should probably pay off dividends, I would think.
If you're the Chiefs coaches, like, and they don't need this, like other teams need it, TJ, like, how do you avoid overconfidence? I because it does feel that way, right? Like, you've had this rest, everybody's healthy, you finally get it back, like you're feeling good, you're feeling swaggy, and then the Texans are that team that does have the makeup to be the kind of team that gives you fits, you know, with their pass rush and their playmaking quarterback and all of these things. How do you avoid it if you're the Chiefs? Like, what is the message? Do they even need one with Mahomes and Kelce and Jones at the lead?
Yeah, it's definitely a story, but I think that with the way that the Chiefs season has gone and everybody calling them the luckiest team, the worst number one seed that we've seen in years because of the way that these games have gone, I think it's a completely different vibe for the Chiefs right now. I think that they're finally, I think that this is what they have been waiting for, to feel this level of confidence. I think that they really did kind of skate by, and you know, wins are wins, but I'm sure that was something in the back of their heads about everybody calling them lucky and calling them the worst division champion and everything like that. So I think that it's huge for them. I don't think that you need to calm them down by any means, but I do agree the Texans are something that, you know, if you overlook them, which I think some people might be, I think that they could give you fits.
I don't know if, we'll talk about that in the next hour. I wonder if people still do think that about the Chiefs. We're going to have PJ Glasser in to help us with bets. Tim Fitzgerald in the next hour as well. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.